Dave Spano, CEO of NX Wealth Management. Dave, happy Monday. Thanks for taking the time, as always.
Yeah, happy Monday to you as well. And folks, when you fill out that survey, make sure you say who the best guest is on the Jeff Sherman Show throughout the week.
Without a doubt, indeed. So, some interesting news from JP Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon over the weekend, suggesting that, you know, this half point interest rate, Dave, is a minor thing that Wall Street, not Main Street, is obsessing over. How should we, as just everyday Main Streeters, care about the cut, and what should we obsess about? I mean, that's a big question, financially speaking.
Yeah, I got it. So Jamie Dimon, he talks a lot. He's probably the most notable CEO on Wall Street at JP Morgan. He does make a lot of news. There's no question about it. But he says some stuff that doesn't come true. You remember in mid-2022, he said, get ready for a hurricane in the coming market. But then in October of 2022, the AI-driven bull market began, and through the roof we went. So he is somebody I watch. I definitely watch what he says. And, but the idea that it's obsessed by Wall Street is true. There's no question about that. If you look at really what happens, the difference between what happens at the Federal Reserve, which is this, you know, this rate that we talk about, and the Treasury market is really more important, because the Treasury market trades way in front of the Fed. They don't need the Fed to make changes. And there's a big gap right now, so the Treasury market's at around 3.5%, and the Federal Reserve rate was at 5.5% on the top end, now down to 5%. So there's a big gap that's going to have to close. And that second rate that I talk about, the Treasury rate-ish, is really more important for everyday Americans, because that sets mortgage rates and car loans and so on and so forth. So to that extent, he is correct that the Treasury market does make a whole lot more more news than really what the Federal Reserve does. But this is a shift. There's no question about it. You can talk about what the Federal Reserve did really from 08 all the way up to 2022. They kept rates, you know, near zero. And so they spiked them up to 5%. That was a change. And now you're going to have this paradigm shift again as the rates begin to come down, probably over the next 2 years. This will be the story.
What are some of the things that we should obsess about right now and change in our financial strategies? Should we wait for additional rate cuts, or what are those kind of one or two suggestions right now?
Yeah, if you want to obsess, and if this is financial planning 101, put money away in your 401k plan, your retirement plan, put it away on a tax advantage, sometimes pre-tax basis. Just keep doing that. Just keep grinding. For sure. That's number one. And number two is, don't get over your skis with your debt. Mm-hmm. Keep your debt under control. And if you could just tell a recent college grad, what are the two things that you want him to do? Keep your debt under control and save your money. And folks, that'll be the best piece of advice you get.
Okay. As you look to different industries and sectors right now, are there ones that are a little bit more impervious to these current conditions?
Yeah. If you think about if we expect a slowdown, and that's really, you know, is the Fed lowering 50 basis points because they're fearing a major slowdown? That's a lot of the economic indicators are saying we're going to be slower in those types of areas. Then classic defensive, like, you know, defensive stocks like utilities, consumer staples, government bonds, they historically have done well. But if the Fed is cutting rates just because they want to get it back down, you know, try to get a soft landing, then more things like cyclicals, and cyclicals are industrial stocks, financial stocks, materials, they can do well. So, you know, trying to time is a fool's errand, Jeff, because you have to be right not once, but twice, you know, when you get out and when you get back in. So shifting your portfolio is healthy, certainly can do that by making sure you go through your portfolio, know what's in it, why it's in it, and how much you're paying for it.
Yeah, and another popular play, people like to think, all right, big dividends are always in utilities, and that, you know, that's going to be the case no matter where rates are.
But utilities have been at the bottom. If you look at the 11 sectors, utilities have been the 11th sector, over the last number of years. So you're right about that, but that's in a defensive play. That's in when the economy is slowing down, people will still pay their utilities and still pay their cell phone bill.
All right. Very good. Well, speaking of markets, let's, when we come back, Dave, if you're up for it, we're going to do a definition deep dive in the next segment. We hear all these terms every day.
Spelling bee.
There won't be, I don't think there'll be any spelling, but there'll be a lot of acronyms and abbreviations. And we're just going to go through it all and get your take on it, what all these terms mean, just so we're all on the same plane. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Dave Spinell, CEO of Annex Wealth Management. Dave, the Dow has to rise, about 20% to get to 50,000. So let's move away from the number a little bit and define some of the terms that we hear about each and every day. Just when we hear the Dow Jones Industrial Average, what is that in company?
Yeah, so it's funny. The Dow has been around for a really long time. And it's, you know, it's 30 stocks. It's 30 very large stocks, publicly traded companies that they put in there. And sometimes they swap them in and out.
Mm-hmm.
There's a committee, you know, it's really the publishers, the Wall Street Journal that do that. That's the Dow, you know, the Dow Jones owns the Wall Street Journal. And they swap these companies in and out. And it's been around since the late 1800s. And because it's the oldest and most widely watched, doesn't really make it a good barometer. Right. Mm-hmm. But it has been around for a long time. So the Dow Jones is very narrow. It's 30 stocks. It's called the Dow. Been around a long time, but not a great indicator.
Okay. And the NASDAQ and the NASDAQ Composite, we hear both those. Is that the same thing?
Well, the NASDAQ obviously is the is a traded, you know, it's a series of stocks that gets traded. There's 3,400 companies on the NASDAQ stock exchange. There's, you know, obviously we talk about the New York Stock Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
There is the NASDAQ Stock Exchange. And there's 3,400 companies in there, very heavily weighted towards tech companies. So it's a key indicator for the health of the tech sector and their performance. So you look at Dow Jones, that's the New York Stock Exchange for the most part. The NASDAQ is the NASDAQ Stock Exchange. By the way, just a fun fact, mm-hmm. if you look at how many ticker symbols are in, you can tell what exchange it's on. So generally, if it's three or less, that's on the Dow Jones, and four or more, just a fun indicator that's on the NASDAQ.
Okay. And the S&P 500 and the Russell 2000 then?
Right. So the S&P is the Standard & Poor's, and so it's the Standard & Poor's largest 500 companies. And the one thing about the Standard & Poor's is that, unlike the Dow Jones, it's market cap weighted. What does that mean? Market capitalization of a company is the size of the company. And the reason why I bring that up is, for example, if you go back to the Dow, for example, if Boeing is trading just theoretically at $300 a share and Apple, now this is not true, but if Apple was at 30, that mm-hmm. does not indicate, you know, it's price weighted. The S&P 500 is market cap weighted. And the reason why that's important is the Mag 7, the Magnificent 7, the big tech stocks, represent about a third, somewhere in that neighborhood, of the market value, the market cap weighted. So then when those big companies move, they can move the S&P 500 significantly. But most investment firms generally use the S&P 500 as their large cap indicator.
Okay.
And the Russell 2000 is just small cap companies. So those four really can indicate, for domestic stocks, those four indicators will tell you what's really good for United States-based companies. But obviously, there are bonds, there's international stocks, there's other indicators that should go into a more broad-based index.
Would you ever foresee the creation of a new index? I mean, there's been a lot of talk about that, you know, just in a specific state or...
Yeah, the state, you know, there are state indicators, but, you know, if you think about, you know, an index, like an index finger, it's pointing to something, and it's better that's the index finger than the other finger pointing to something. But you want to make sure that there is a strategy. But there's a lot of talk about crypto. You saw the vice president going out and talking to the crypto folks this weekend, raising a gazillion dollars this weekend from the crypto folks. And of course, you know, J.D. Vance and Trump certainly have been kowtowing to some of the crypto folks. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see some type of crypto indicator down the road. But, you know, there are indices that are popped up. you know, in fact, we just here, we had a benchmarking conversation this past week to talk about what is the right indicator, because if it's a six, you know, if it's 60-40 or 70-30, how do you really measure that? Because you can't just compare your performance in your account to the S&P 500 if only 60% of your company, of your investments are in stocks.
Mm-hmm.
People have international stocks, they have bonds, and what's the better indicator?
So just briefly then, PCE, what are we going to hear from the BEA this week?
A lot of stuff. FUBAR is what you're going to hear. But PCE is the personal consumption indicator. Why do we look at that? It's really what the Fed bases their decisions on. It's really a good indicator for them versus the old CPI. And so you just look at PCE indicator. The Fed looks at that. You know, I don't know if everyday America wants to look at that, but it's what the Fed pays attention to. And just from 30,000 feet, we saw 50 basis points as expected on Wednesday. You'll see another at least 25 basis points after the election and another 25 basis points in December. So 100
basis points.